This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now. Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors. And it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait, don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
The time has come, ladies and gentlemen. InvestFest, that's right. That's right. InvestFest 2023 is here. August 25th, 26th, and 27th in Atlanta, Georgia. We are taking it to a new level. Bigger than ever this year, we're going to do 20,000 people in Atlanta, Georgia.
I want you to do yourself a favor. Head over to investfest.com right now.
We will have activations from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 3 days, musical performances, billionaires. Everything is going to be a completely life-changing experience. Vendor Marketplace, Food Truck Village, you know how we do.
Don't wait, don't hesitate, head over now.
We opened our brick and mortar in 2018.
Yeah.
And that's when we partnered with Matt Barnes. The story goes that the basketball players were on a group chat talking about sending flowers. I'll just leave it at that. So they had a group chat. They were talking about flowers and how much they spend on flowers. And one of the guys in the group chat is one of my closest friends. And he was like, yo, my girl just opened a flower shop. You know, y'all got to tap in. So when he told, you know, the group chat to tap in to our company, it piqued something in Matt, who was interested in investing at the time. He's like, I'm going to invest.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop. All right, guys, welcome back, EYL. This is actually going to be an episode and a conversation that we've never had before, which is very, very exciting.
Yeah.
We got introduced through a good friend of ours, Joy Taylor.
Alumni.
Shout out to Joy Taylor.
Shout out to Joy.
She's an alumni and she just got a new show. So
shout out to her.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Speak.
Huh?
I think that's the name
Speak?
Of the show.
Speak. That's the name of the show?
Yeah, yeah. Speak.
Dope, dope. So Atika Old Wine Grimble and her husband Brian Grimble. So we got introduced to Atika first. And Joy was telling me, she was like, I got somebody that you got to meet. Da-da-da. She has to be on your show. I'm like, all right, whatever you say.
Let us eat this dinner first.
So she introduced us and he's like, yeah, I got a black owned floral company. And we sell flowers. So I'm like, all right, well, let's set it up. It was pretty easy, right?
It was very easy. Surprisingly. It's like, am I going to show somebody there?
But not because, you know, it's one of these things where I never even thought about that before. Of course, everybody has, you know, purchased roses at one point in time, whether it's for Valentine's Day, whether it's an anniversary, whether you did something very toxic. Get back on good grace. So, you know, everybody has done the flower thing. Not only roses, there's tulips, there's daisies, yes. No assortment.
Mm-hmm. God knows it's flowers.
I am impressed. You must buy flowers. I want to get in your business.
He must be shopping a lot.
Earn your love. Coming
That's
soon.
A fact.
But I never really thought about it being a business until I was introduced to you. And I'm like, oh, yeah, obviously it is a business. Mm-hmm. So people are making money from it. But there's a lot of different things that go into it, from picking the flowers, from the gardening aspect of it, to managing it, delivery. So this is an interesting conversation. And it's always good to have conversations with a couple.
Thank you.
Husband and wife dynamic.
Very out to that dynamic.
Very important. That.
Welcome to the club. I'm sure you've been part of it for a while.
Thank you.
Members only.
It's very important that we highlight black love, but especially when it's in a business format.
Yeah.
Because it's important and it's not easy,
no.
I'm sure. But that's a whole different dynamic within itself. So first and foremost, welcome.
Thank you for having us. Thank you
so much for having us.
This is going to be legendary. Not only is it the first time we've ever spoken about the floral business, but I know there's a fragrance business too.
There is a fragrance.
So there's two businesses inside of this that we have never spoken about. So there's going to be a lot of information. I got a lot of questions because I'm like, damn,
it's
fragrance. Okay.
It's a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into it. So we're going to open the minds to the people today.
So before we get into that, I want to get into the backstory a little bit. You used to work for Oprah.
I used to work for Oprah Winfrey.
Very legendary.
The Oprah.
Person.
The Oprah Winfrey. Yeah.
I'm sure you picked up a lot of game. How did that come about and what were your responsibilities in her organization?
So it came about, honestly, just the power of the word, right? So when I was in college, I told my girlfriends, I'm going to work for Oprah. And they're like, okay. And I moved to Chicago. I went to University of Chicago for grad school. So it's after UCLA. And this was back in the day. I'm 42 years old. So just put that out there.
Just putting it there.
So I was in Chicago. I wanted to work for Oprah. And I was like, oh, well, I'll get an internship. I'm a college student. I'll get an internship. And I literally printed out the application, wrote, you know, who I was, mailed it in, and waited at home because I didn't have a cell phone. And they called me and invited me to come in and interview. And then by the time I got home, they had left a voicemail and they hired me as an intern. And at that time, I always say there was Oprah before the car show, Tom Cruise jumped on the couch and after Tom Cruise jumped on the couch.
Legendary moment.
It changed everything.
Nothing was the same.
It is a true story. And the car show was also one of those moments. And I believe...
Oh, you get a car, you get a car?
You get a car, you get a car. Both of those shows happened within a couple months span. So I was an intern pre-Tom jumping on the couch and the car show. And so it was a production company, kind of like this, right? A little bigger. She had a studio that was like a warehouse size. And there were two or three interns and I was one of them. And we never worked at the same time. So I got to see everything that happened at this amazing television show. And then they hired me to come on and produce the audience, which was really cool because the audience is makes the show, right? When you have a studio audience like the Oprah show had, they're so excited. They're crying. They're like, we love you. I mean, that was part of her shtick, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so that allowed me to kind of understand more operations, But what I do love about work or having that experience of working with the Oprah show is that it was all women. There were probably like 5 men that worked there that were not on the technical side. So there were cameramen and things like that because they were carrying the heavy camera. So they're, you know, but as far as producers, executives, marketers, PR, it was all women. And it felt really, really good to work in a space with women that are just excelling. So
did you actually meet her? Like y'all actually had conversations?
Yes, Oprah knows my name.
Oh, this is another first.
No. Who? We had a bunch of people that Oprah knows her name. Steve Harvey.
Well, I mean,
little old me. You
know. Entertainment.
Yes.
Of course. Yes.
All right. So, but at some point you transitioned back to LA.
Yes.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from the Bay Area. I'm from
Oakland.
I'm not from Oakland. It's so funny. I just heard a joke about people from the Bay who say they're from the Bay because they don't want to tell the city that they're actually from. It's true. I'm like, I just did it. I'm from the East Bay. I'm from a city called Richmond.
Oh, yeah. Richmond.
California. You know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Master P.
Yeah.
Coach Carter.
Yeah.
It was real. It's real in Richmond. So
it's real in Richmond.
It's gotten a little, you know, gentrification kind of has happened. So things have changed a bit. But when I was there, it was very Coach Carter.
And then shout out to Coach. Legendary movie. So then you moved back to LA.
I moved back to LA. So when I left, when the Oprah show ended in 2011, I left Chicago 2012. I moved to LA. When I moved to LA, I was coming from a marketing position at the Oprah show. So I kind of transitioned and went into different departments, which I really liked having that experience because I didn't have to leave the company. I could go into different departments and learn. And so when I got to LA, I wanted to be a marketer. And so I joined the marketing team at AEG. So AEG is Anschutz Entertainment Group. They own LA Live, Clippers, Lakers, Sparks play there, BET Awards, MTV. And so I did all the marketing for all of the events, but specifically at the theater, a lot of red carpets. So it gave me like this bird's eye view into like digital marketing. So we did a lot of digital marketing and I hadn't had that experience yet. And marketing, I feel like, was just kind of starting. Like now everybody is like marketing. You can get marketing university or major in marketing or something like that, right? And that's that wasn't really happening when I was coming up. So it was a really good opportunity to learn marketing.
When did you guys meet?
Yeah, let's go there.
We met, we actually have mutual friends from Chicago. Mm-hmm. So I have a best friend and a best girlfriend who have been together since college. We all went to college together. And they went to Chicago when they left Xavier University in New Orleans. And in Chicago, Itika was part of their friend group.
When I worked for Oprah.
And so when I visited Chicago, we all hung out.
Yeah. But we met and we weren't in a space to date.
No.
So we met, then life happened, and then we reconnected like maybe 8 years later.
About eight or nine years later.
Yeah.
I was too turned up.
He was turned up. He was, you know, we were in relationships. It just didn't work out.
Have not paid my taxes.
He was definitely too turned up. I was like, you got to bring it down, bro.
So maybe about 2017.
Then we reconnected in 2016.
2016.
But he had been like popping in and out of my DMs. But so once we randomly started talking, I was looking through like my Facebook messages and I had like a hello from him a few times, you know, like, hi, Will. Hello, every like yo, 7 months.
These things. Yeah, these things into existence.
Hey, the hey.
Yeah. Exactly. Hey, they man. Got ignored, hey, so don't man. Do that, guys.
Well, it worked out in the end.
So you get to LA, mm-hmm. right? Obviously, the Oprah show ends. Harpo yes. Series is still existing, but the Oprah show ends.
Mm-hmm.
What gets you inspired to get into the floral space? Because I know, like, 2017, this baby comes to life. I know you guys are probably, like, at this point now dating, but you're about to become an entrepreneur in a different sense. So, like, what sparked that?
So, before I started working in flowers, in between my floral career and working at AEG, I became a marketer and I had my own marketing company, right? So I had little clients. And one of my clients was the in-house florist at the Four Seasons on Doheny. And so I'm like, okay, yeah, I can market you your floral company. Sure. In my head, I could market anything, right? So I can market this floral company. But in real life, I didn't know the first thing about floral design, floral companies, the business, anything. So I walk into this space in the basement of the Four Seasons, and I see this wonderful workshop. I mean, these floral designers were creating, you know, when you go into the lobby and you see all the big, like, Casablanca lily arrangements, hydrangea arrangements. They were designing and they were getting along and laughing. And it was just such a great feeling. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. Like, I've never thought about how the flowers actually landed in the vases in this beautiful way. And I fell in love with the industry while I was working as to market this company.
So let's get into this conversation. All right. So what's the first steps to start the floral business? And did you have a brick and mortar right away? Or
no.
When you say, okay, I want to start a business, mm-hmm. what's the first step that you took?
Well, one of the first steps I took was that I left, the company was called Eric Buterbaugh. I left Eric Buterbaugh's and I started looking for a job. And my husband said, wait, real quick. Let's talk about this. He's like, how much revenue did this company make a month?
And outside, I spent a lot of time there.
He spent when we were dating.
And it wasn't like a little flower shop. They were doing like you name it.
Flower walls, like all the things, mm-hmm. even before
like the biggest
Instagram.
Of the big A-list yeah. celebrities. And I just knew it was lucrative. Because mm-hmm. flowers, also keep in mind, you can buy them for a fifth of what you can sell them for.
Yeah.
And when she left the company and she was looking, doing resumes, I really don't believe in working for anybody. Like, I've been a trader since I was 21 years old. And she said the guy was doing like $5 million a year in revenue. And that's when I was like, you know, we should open a flower shop. And I felt like all of the clients knew Itika because he was kind of the owner and he wasn't that visual anymore. And she didn't want to go after his clients and go that route, but she did agree to try it.
Yeah. So what I did know was everything that it took to run a flower shop. So I knew where to buy the flowers from, who the wholesalers were, where to get the vases from. I knew the talented designers. I knew the drivers. So I knew all of the moving parts. And then all I had to do literally was send a few texts, call a few people. And literally we started our flower business in the kitchen of our apartment. And it was like scrappy, like there would be buckets and scissors and petals. And I got a website. We built a website for, you know, a nominal price, you know, whatever. And I just started using my, you know, marketing skills, sending out email blasts, creating a social media page. And I had to hire designers because I didn't know how to design at the time. I'm self-taught. My husband's self-taught. He learned how to design. And you just, once you realize the access is, it's there, right? So we lived two blocks from the flower mart. So I could walk to the flower mart and buy a bunch of roses. I could then buy a vase, put water in the vase, make the roses pretty inside of the vase and deliver it and make, what do you pay for a bunch of roses? A dozen nice roses.
$150.
There you go.
So.
And then do that like 10 times a day.
So you said something, all right. So let's get back to this. You said something, Brian. You said that you buy roses or flowers for like a fifth of the price that you sell them for.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I just thought about bottles in a club. Because whenever I go to a club, I always think about like they're selling these bottles for $400.
Yeah.
And they're getting them for like $25.
Yeah.
So when you're buying flowers, you buy them wholesale?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Where do you buy wholesale flowers from?
So we literally live two blocks away from the largest flower mart in the country.
It's Flower Mart?
Flower Mart.
So that's like just a
southern. It's a huge warehouse of nothing but flowers.
Four blocks each way, mm-hmm. all flowers.
This is like a Home Depot, but nothing but flowers.
Nothing exactly. but flowers. And it's imagine like 10 Home Depots.
Yeah. 10.
Because it's an entire district.
He said four blocks.
It's yeah. a, it's the flower four. District.
And they're coming from around the world every single day.
Into LAX.
Japan, like every single morning,
Holland,
around 2 o'clock in the morning.
New Zealand, Thailand.
Flowers coming from everywhere, every day. So it's literally like a few Home Depots full of flowers.
So, okay, that's a lot. And so you're going, how often are you going to the flower mart? And then how expensive is it? I mean, you're buying it at wholesale, so mm-hmm. obviously the price is going to be cheaper. How do you even know which ones to buy, right? Obviously roses are popular, but are you doing like analytics to see what people are buying?
So what I realized while I was working at the original flower shop was that there's a lot of spoilage, right? You can buy too much. And then once flowers aren't fresh, mm-hmm. you can't send them out. You'll get a bad reputation. People want their money back. So you have to throw them away. So he was doing a lot of that. He was throwing away a lot of flowers. Like, I couldn't afford to do that. So I still to this day, and we've been in business since 2017, I take in my orders the night before or before 9 a.m. the same day, and then we do the buy. So then we go and buy. So if we've sold 5 tulip arrangements, then we have to go buy tulips. If we sold arrangements that include peonies and roses, we have to go buy those. So for the most part, we buy everything that we need the same day, and that's kind of built into our operation because you'll lose money.
So that makes sense. So you don't buy until you have an order.
Don't buy until I have an order.
And all of these, are you shipping flowers or are they picking them up in the store?
Hand deliver. Very rarely do we pick up. Unfortunately, downtown LA is not the best pedestrian area. It's a little sketchy. And so we're...
You know, he almost got killed in downtown LA.
He always tells us. It's not... The story is this. We were trying to get into our Airbnb. We kept driving through these vacant lots. Mm. We went down an alleyway. We weren't even supposed to drive there. There might have been some people that were in there who might have thought we were coming to look for them. Mm. So when we got out the car to try to open the lock, his back is turned. I'm watching two people approach me. I'm like, yo, Shadi. He's like, yo, keep an eye on them. I'm like, what else can I do? They're walking right toward me. He turns his back. A young man walks up. He asks me where I'm from. You're like, that's in my city. That's question number one. Like, that, that's rules. And then he shows me a gun. And I'm like, yo, bro, like we here to just get an Airbnb. And he was like, oh, all right. And he kind of moves. And then 2 minutes later, Shadi comes back and like, yo, what do you want? I'm like, yo, what? Yo,
what did he want?
It almost happened.
Yeah, so that's the true story. That happened in downtown LA.
That was in Koreatown.
Yeah.
Last time we was in, we haven't been to
Koreatown. That's the last time we stayed down there.
It's been West Hollywood ever since then, for
LA. LA is very active right now.
Yeah.
Active is a good word.
Safety first. It's all right, so we should have like a segment for the conversation. So that makes sense. So you're getting the flowers, and you're hand delivering them, right?
Hand deliver. And that's delivery. We charge a delivery fee. It's the same that, you know, the service charges us. So that's what it costs to get something hand delivered. And we deliver everywhere. We deliver from Calabasas to, you know, Newport. Hawthorne, Newport Beach.
So what's the delivery service look like? Are you outsourcing that, or is that something that you have, like you have a van, you have these people, or is it like you're outsourcing it to just freelance delivery people?
So we outsource it. The reason why is flowers are so precious. So you really need someone that cares about the delivery. They care about making sure that the flowers are going to get to the person. They're going to look exactly like they looked when they left the shop. And there are about three services that are very good at that, and so we use those services.
So you're designing for a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. Are you still doing it out of the house, or is it now like a studio? Because these
fast forward,
I'm assuming like some of these orders are huge, right? If we're putting it inside a hotel, that's gonna be tough for me to do in my living.
Yes, so we have expanded. So we have built a business that we now have. Our clients are Carolina Herrera, Valentino, Issa Rae, Vanessa Anderson. Issa Rae's publicist orders from us all the time. Beyonce and Jay-Z, Amazon, Netflix, Facebook. And all of these people on any given day need flowers. Sometimes it's for a wedding. Other times it's for a store opening. And so we opened our brick and mortar in 2018.
Yeah.
And that's when we partnered with Matt Barnes. And he was looking, shout out to Matt Barnes. He was looking to invest in small businesses, specifically black businesses. And the story goes that the basketball players were on a group chat talking about sending flowers. I'll just leave it at that.
It only makes sense.
And also Los Angeles is like New York. It's uniquely festive.
Yeah.
You know, we have the award seasons, the Emmys, the Oscars, the Golden Globes. We got, you know, in the summertime, you got the BETs. We have hotels and weddings. So it's a very, you know, flowers are very important in LA, like on an everyday basis almost.
Yeah.
Because it's such a, you know, they celebrate and there's so many, you know, things.
A lot of gifting, a lot of client gifts, a lot of, you know, Instagram content needed. So we are, you know, happy to do it.
But. So they had a group chat and somebody suggested you as the flower.
Yeah, so they had a group chat. They were talking about flowers and how much they spend on flowers. And one of the guys in the group chat is one of my closest friends. He's from Oakland and played for UCLA. His name is Ray. And he was like, yo, my girl just opened a flower shop. You know, y'all got to tap in. And
this is shout out to Ray Young. And
I was just gonna say, is it Ray Young?
Yeah, Ray Young.
High school player of the year.
I was in
UCLA.
Coach Carter when he was high school player of the year. We actually played his team and it was very memorable because there definitely was a brawl with parents involved and we live up to our name in the Bay Area.
Flowers were sent.
Yes. So when he told, you know, the group chat to tap into our company, it piqued something in Matt, who was interested in investing at the time. And, you know, I knew Matt very loosely via Ray. But he wanted to find out more about the industry, more about the business, meet my husband. We weren't dating at the time. We weren't married. And we met and he was like, what do you need to grow your business? And I was like, I need a spot. I need a brick and mortar. I can't keep making these flowers out of the kitchen. It's driving my husband crazy. And we just don't have the capacity. We need a cooler. We need places to put vases. We need garbage, you know, it's just everything. And so he said, okay. He's like, I'm going to invest. And it's been a great, great partnership.
When did you study design? Like, how did you get the design skills? Because some of these, like, floral plans are just immaculate. And I'm wondering, where's the brainchild behind that? So did you study design?
I did not. And honestly, I never thought I was that, like, artistic. I always just kind of, like, I'm not one of those people who, like, can see a painting and know what it's saying. It's not speaking to me. I'm not that, like, I'm just not. I'm just like, I don't, okay, it's... You know, you have to tell me. So it just started out of necessity. So when you're a small business and you need to hire florists, right? Floral designers are so talented, but it is such a specific skill. And there are not a lot of people that have that skill, to be quite honest. And so I would try to hire florists. I couldn't afford florists sometimes, or florists weren't available. And so it became just out of necessity. We have an order. Nobody can come and do it. We have one order today. You know, it was very early. I guess I can do it. And so it was just a matter of like remembering, watching other designers, going on YouTube. And then my husband actually picked up on it as well, because very early on, there was this very beautiful thing that we do with roses where we reflex roses, we open the petal, it's really pretty. I did not know how to do it, but my husband did. And so he started designing all the reflex rose arrangements. And it just, he got really good at it. I know how to do it now.
Artiste with flowers.
Yes. So it just kind of came second nature. And then I'm still learning. I'm still watching. I work with the best floral designers and I pay attention to what they do. And
you're watching this, right? And so I know what it's like as a husband to watch somebody go through a journey. I remember going, you know, starting Earn Your Leisure and watching my wife work from a desk. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, you should stop. Like 7 o'clock. She's like, no, I got work to do. And then my mind, I'm like, no, I got to get her out of this. Like, I got to make sure we work hard enough so she doesn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. So as you're watching your fiance, your wife going through this entrepreneurial journey, what is that like for you? Because I know you said you're trading.
It's tough. I was going to say, because I do well from my desk. And, you know, it's a lot of hard work, you know, carrying water and buckets and flowers. So we were fortunate enough to get strong enough and a strong, consistent clientele that we hired. So now she may go to the store on a Monday and she might take our daughter. But for the most part, the rest is we got staff now. Mm. So she sometimes has to get, you know, sometimes I have to go in there when it's just too much, but more or less she gets to raise the baby. We both get to raise our daughters at home, and we've been able to get staff.
So, all right. So somebody makes the order, then you have somebody go pick up the flowers. Mm-hmm. Then they bring the flowers to the shop.
Yes.
Then you arrange the flowers, mm-hmm. cut the stems, all of that stuff, mm-hmm. right? Package it up, make it nice. Mm-hmm. And then you have a delivery service that delivers the flowers.
Yes.
That's the chain of command, right? So that's like a 3-part process. So one person picks up the flowers, another person arranges the flowers, another person delivers the flowers?
No. So the same person that picks up the flowers also makes the flowers. So okay. I worked at a shop, that first shop, where they did have somebody that did, we call it the buy, that did the buy, that went and bought the flowers. At this stage in our business, it doesn't make sense, you know, cost-wise to hire somebody to just go and buy the flowers. I did it for a little while, and it just was like, if you're working at Old Vine today, you're buying the flowers. So I have my wonderful designer, Ella's, before I came in, texting me, are these the right tulips? You know, so she's doing the buy. She's going to head to the shop. She's there now, hopefully, designing. And then the driver will come and pick up. And then we do like a stagger pickup, like an 11 o'clock pickup, 11:30, noon, as things are ready. And then they go out that way.
So you said, you mentioned Jay-Z, Beyonce, Valentino, and all the different people. So, two questions. How are you able to scale up to that? How do you get on that radar? And what's the bulk of your business? Is it regular people ordering, or is it like those type of parties and, you know, special arrangements?
So before the pandemic, we did our numbers and we were 84% events. So
84%
events. 84%
events.
So I don't know if they do a lot of Hennessy events out here in New York, but in LA.
Yeah, we know some people that just do them themselves.
Well, that too. But Hennessy is a client and they have a budget for flowers, right? So when they do their dinners, they always have beautiful arrangements. They put arrangements on the bar and cocktail area on the table. So we would have like sometimes 3 Hennessy dinners a week, right? And then on top of that, if Nike is doing an event and, you know, if Netflix is having a premiere and when, you know, right before the pandemic, I mean, we were rolling, right? Everything was just kind of like fun and popping. That's how it felt. And 84% events. And then when the pandemic hit, everything gets shut down and we had to pivot. And so our pivot was, look, we make beautiful arrangements that you can send to your mom because you can't see her because you're isolated or you're, you know, not able to take your wife on vacation this year, but you're going to send her $2,000 worth of flowers because that's how much it would cost to take her to Cabo. So we've been able to convince people to do that, right? The other thing is, and to use us, and then it's really word of mouth, and it's also, I believe, a very, very big part of our success is supporting Black business. People want to support Black business. If they find out that I'm Black-owned, they almost certainly are going to buy from me if they're looking to buy from a Black-owned company, or if they were going to buy somewhere else, but they find out I'm Black-owned, they're like, oh no, I want to spend my money, you know, with a Black-owned business, a woman-owned business. And they're not necessarily Black people doing this exclusively, right? It's also corporations that want to say, hey, we're supporting this Black-owned business. So that's allowed us to get some of these corporate dollars in because of their like very pointed need or want to support Black-owned, woman-owned small businesses.
Is there a number, like, as far as a corporate budget for, like, for floral arrangements? Is there, like, an average that corporations will pay to have a type of arrangement like that?
You know what? It really depends.
I feel like a lot of the thing about it is I feel like a lot of people call with their number. Okay. Like, it's not like, I feel like a lot of our clients are like, I want to spend $600, and that's it. Okay. Or I want to spend $1,000, or I want to spend $2,000. More or less, it works that way than people searching online to spend $150 in the way our business runs.
Yeah.
So people typically call us with a budget, and we work from that budget.
All right. So if I'm calling, I'm like, I got $3,000 to spend, and then you tell me what I can get the $3,000?
Okay, and $3,000 is usually, you know, for a small event. Arrangements, I would say we're in the luxury floral business, right? So we're not 1-800-Flowers, we're not Conroy's, you're not getting, you know, something from Whole Foods or Trader Joe's, although I love Whole Foods and Trader Joe's flowers. I tell people all the time, like, if you just need something really quickly, go to Whole Foods or Trader Joe's. Mm-hmm. So in the luxury business, you're not only paying for this roses, you're paying for these beautifully designed specialty roses that we're going to assure you are going to last and be like, wow. So most people know that they're going to spend upwards of $150, I would say that. And then you kind of like go from there.
$150?
Yeah. And up.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, it's not bad.
So like if I wanted to throw a dope party or a wedding, and, you know, I'm Beyonce, no object. You don't have to say how much Beyonce spent. I'm just using her as an example. How much is that? How much is an extravagant vibe?
Well, I'll say this. I did a baby shower recently. Beautiful. I believe the groom was an NBA player, and they probably spent $15,000. Yeah. And it was gorgeous. It was really nice.
Like white roses all over the place.
White. It was a baby shower, so they wanted pinks and blues and baby's breath and long garlands. I mean, it was wow. It was wow.
But a Beyonce, because of their, you know, where they are, they may spend $40,000.
40, 60. I mean, the hanging like chandeliers rock, that like you see at Nation. Their Rock Nation party. I mean, that's, yeah, that's like another.
You did the Rock Nation party?
We did not do Rock Nation. Honestly, that is another, I'm speaking into existence. Like I got here, just like I got to Oprah. We have been trying to get Rock Nation. There was a pandemic, so I understand.
It only makes sense.
Gotta do it.
The thing about LA is that I just was saying this a couple months ago. I was in LA and it was a Wednesday and we were at some party, I forget. And I was telling my friend, I'm like, LA is a place where every single day, there's a party, yeah. And there's parties for. Did they just make up a reason? It's like
I was saying, celebrate everything.
Yeah,
the other days a week is something.
It's something.
We get all these invites, and I'm like, this. I'm like, it's Monday.
It's Monday.
Yeah. Yo, every day it's a premiere. It's an exclusive event. It's a vibe, and it's in Beverly Hills and a mansion party.
Yeah.
And then there's 30 of them going on. Like all of my friends will be at different places in the city celebrating, having just as much fun as the other, and we don't run into each other, but we'll see you tomorrow. It's one of those cities. It's back, thank God. So
it's definitely back. That's a fact.
I mean, we love going there.
I'm so happy.
One of the things is that you have the brick and mortar,
mm-hmm,
but you have the delivery. And so I'm assuming that most deliveries happen in, like, I guess it would be the tri-state, but like in the LA location.
Yeah. So LA is right hub, but then we will deliver to what you will call the South Bay. So like Palos Verdes, Manhattan Beach, Redondo Beach, like the beach cities, we'll deliver there. We'll deliver to the Valley, Van Nuys, Burbank, Porto Ranch, Calabasas. We'll deliver, you know, to the IE, right? Pomona, if you need us to. You know, it's all, we'll make it happen.
You brought up one other thing. You said if you want to get flowers, you said you can go to some other places on a daily, right? Like, so like weekly, as part of our supermarket shopping,
mm-hmm,
flowers come with that.
Okay.
And so I'm wondering if there is a subscription.
There is
a subscription. So they can actually have it every week then.
Yes. Yeah, so one of our very favorite clients is Angela Rye. So she gets a weekly delivery. And she's been extremely supportive of my business. We met because we were hired to do flowers, I think, for two events that she had, and then she kind of circled back because she wanted plants. So we also do plants. So we can, you know, it's something that we got into during the pandemic because so many people were spending time in the house and they want air purifying plants, or they just wanted like a plant pet just for, you know, something to do, like water this thing once a day. It's did something today. And so we really got into like the plant business. And so we put a bunch of Bird of Paradise in Angela's backyard, and we've done plants throughout her home, and we do weekly subscriptions with her.
So, all right, what is the best flower? Like, because flowers die.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody's looking to buy flowers, what should they be buying?
That's a good question.
It's interesting. It's really, I think, your aesthetic, and just know that it's not going to last, right? The flower is dead when you bought it. Once it's clipped, it's dead. It's just how long can it stay in that beautiful space that it's in right now. So I would say, you know, shockingly enough, people love sunflowers, but sunflowers last like 2 to 3 days and they're gone. Same with hydrangea. Tulips last a really long time. You mentioned tulips. Tulips last a really long time. I love tulips because they also continue to grow. It's so weird. If you cut a tulip and you put it in water and put it like maybe under a ledge, in like 2 days, it would have hit the top of the ledge or the shelf, because the stem continues to grow in the water. Just, you know, fun fact. But I'm like being a flower nerd right now. But yeah, you just should know that the flower is going to be there for like 5 days, and then you have to buy another flower.
It definitely depends. If you're somebody like me, like I like I run on AC, like the house is always kind of chilly. That's not good for most flowers.
Yeah.
If you got a dark, you know, orchids, some people have homes and high rises that don't get sunlight. That's not good. So it's your aesthetic too. Like if you don't have a lot of lighting, we might recommend succulents or something like that. But it's how your house is set up too.
And this is, so you're only in LA?
We're only in LA. So we created this fragrance, which we haven't talked about yet.
Oh, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Because we are only in LA. We've tried to branch out. We actually went and did some, we checked out some spaces in Oakland, because Oakland is like, do you guys spend a lot of time in Oakland?
No, we went
been
there
a few times.
Twice.
It is really changing. I mean, I grew up like not being able to get off the BART train on like certain station, like certain BART stations, like you got to pass through Oakland. And now Oakland is just kind of this, there's just a new feeling.
It's like Brooklyn.
It's and so we were looking to expand into the Bay. We looked at some locations in Oakland, and it just didn't make sense, because at the end of the day, I hate to say it, part of the effect of the success, and I don't hate to say it because I kind of do, but it's true, is us, right? And so it's like we can't be in Oakland and in LA and in New York, even though we would like to. So it's like, how do we recreate what Old Vine is in LA without actually being there? So I think that's what.
Yeah. So that's the inspiration for Old Vine fragrances?
That was the inspiration for Old Vine fragrance. We wanted a way to kind of ship our flowers to people that weren't in LA, weren't in the LA area. And we also got approached by someone from Firma Niche, which is the world's like premier scent maker. So they make all the beautiful scents that you smell, from the Gucci's, the Tom Ford's, the Chanel's, all that. They have the noses. And the noses are these basically chemists.
Like mad scientists.
Like actual people's noses.
People's noses. Yeah. But they're like third generation noses. So yeah. They study the art of, it's like an olfactory.
They can like extract, they can take an extraction out of caviar, freeze it at like whatever degree Celsius, steam it, and like extract something from that. Like they go to that level just for one, and they mix all these things. They've been doing it for like 200 years.
Firma Niche.
Firma Niche.
So they, I mean, the things they do is like your mind can't even comprehend how they create scents. Yeah. It's so scientific.
Yeah,
so,
we went to Egypt and got educated on it. they was actually telling us that the Parisians stole everything from Egypt. And it was like the Egyptian scents is more natural.
Wow.
Than the Parisians is
money. It comes with a lot of questions. How do I save? Where should I invest? Can I build wealth to pass on? It's hard to know where to get the answers. That's why the people at Fidelity do what they do. They make it easier for you to get information to make better money decisions. They've got articles and videos, tips and apps, and insights and perspectives that can make planning, saving, and investing less stressful. And when you want to talk it through, there's a real person on the other end with real answers. Helping people is what they do. And as a part of their $250 million Invest in My Education initiative, Fidelity is supporting eligible students from underserved communities in the Boston, Dallas-Fort Worth, and Raleigh-Durham areas by combining scholarships with ongoing assistance, mentorship, and better paths to post-graduation employment. Want to learn more? Visit fidelity.com/blackwealth.
More chemicals involved, but they was like, it was a whole story that they gave us, but they were saying when the Europeans came to Egypt, they pretty much took everything and they brought it back. So he was like, even a lot of the scents that are famous from Paris actually come from Egypt.
Wow.
It's a whole.
No, it's a very, I'm just learning what I know so far about scent making and the noses. And obviously, you know, France is known for this industry. This is where, you know, you go. But hey, that makes perfect sense.
Can you talk about the process? Because I know you said you want people to have the sense,
yeah,
even if they come in the store. Can you talk about the process of incorporating like your story into the scent? Because I know that's a process too.
It is a process. So we worked with this amazing company called Crossover to help develop the story, the brand story for Old Vine Fragrance. And I wanted to kind of go back to my roots from the Bay, and I wanted to feel like I was back home. I wanted to be reminded of like the low fog, the water, the golden hills. I wanted to be reminded of my grandmother and her like putting on her perfume for church and kind of that whole thing. And so I feel like we got that. So our scent is called Meadow Bloom, and it has my grandmother's favorite flowers, orchid. So it has vanilla orchid. I love vanilla. It's sweet. And water lily, lily of the valley. And we have two candles, Find Your Zen and Bridal Bouquet. And Find Your Zen is more woodsy, oaky. It has basil. And Bridal Bouquet, that's the one with the lily of the valley, because lily of the valley is a very popular flower that classically is supposed to be in every bride's bouquet. And then these noses, like, they got it. Like, the scents are incredible.
Amazing. So you sat down with them. You tell them what you want.
Mm-hmm.
They put together a concoction
mm-hmm.
of different stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have a fragrance.
Yep.
You trademarked that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You were in charge of the trademark.
Did it, right? Trademark for sure. And we were initially supposed to go to France and do it all in person, but it was the pandemic. So we ended up having to work with the noses and a lot of shipping. And that was a nightmare because of...
The distribution chain was all messed up, though, and everything was coming from everywhere. We created the package, bottles, same glassmaker as Baccarat. We picked the paper. They had to send us the paper so we could fill it and look at the colors. I mean, we did everything when it came to packaging mm-hmm. That would reflect this luxury fragrance.
So
how long was the process to do all that?
Over a year.
Yeah, it was about a year.
So, like, because the reason why I asked about the trademark, because, you know, they have like Tom Ford, but they always have knockoff
mm-hmm.
Of the same fragrance. So when you trademark it, you have like a pattern on the smell on the.
No,
you have a pattern on like a
pattern on the old line bottle,
but the smell, which is why they can kind of recreate the scent, because it's very hard to patent a scent.
Mm.
They could do something a little different, but it'll still smell the same.
Okay.
That's the complication. I'm sure there is something out of respect, maybe these larger brands, they're not going to make a scent that smells similar. But if there's like Sheen or Fashion Nova, right? There's like Sheen and Fashion Novas of the fragrance world, and there's really nothing you can do about it.
So from a marketing standpoint, obviously you have the brick and mortar, but for the fragrance, how are we marketing that? Is it in stores or is it like online only? Or do you see it like, hey, we're going to have it in Sephora one day?
So this fragrance world that we've gotten ourselves into, it's very interesting. So as you can imagine, it's very gatekept, right?
Yeah.
It's like the cost for entry and all the things, it ain't easy. So basically what we started doing was calling smaller boutiques, smaller brick and mortars that we felt like we were aligned with, and trying to get just a few wholesale, right? 10, 12, and just see how it does. And we actually came on with a store called Beauty Bees, and it's a Black-owned, like, beauty supply, but elevated in the valley. And her name is, she's Chris Middleton's sister. We're all like the basketball players, right?
Small fraternity.
So her name is Brian. So she got us into her story. So that was awesome. But we've tried to call, you know, just on the phones. Like, we're a new company. We're Black owned. We're a small business. We work with Firm and Niche. And it's not, you know what I mean? It's just, you're trying to knock right on all these doors. Going to a larger store like Sephora and Ulta, it sounds good, right? It sounds good. But are they, once we get on the shelf, is it going to sell? Are they going to push us? Are people, especially at our price point, going to say, oh, I want to get this, not compared, and then compare it to something over here that might be a little cheaper, maybe they've heard of. Oh, no, instead I'll go with that. So that gets a little tricky, especially if they don't do, if they don't pay up front. What is that?
We're trying to keep it ours, not so much exclusive, but a high quality. And when you go to those companies, because they buy in so much bulk, all of the margins come down. So you're really trying to sell a ton of fragrance just to make, you know, mm-hmm. a fraction of what you could even possibly make. But, you know, some people, that's their mentality, because they can basically kick back and let everything just load on the shelves and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then some people, if you believe in your product and want to keep it, kind of like a little bit more exclusive, which I believe that's the route we're trying to go.
So when y'all was sitting down and trying to create the profit margins, because fragrances, they range, right? Like you could buy Creed and that's almost $1,000. You could buy Ralph Lauren, right? And that could be like $100. So like when you're creating it, obviously it's still a liquid, right? Obviously you're paying for packaging and all those
Everything's
things.
Everything's paid.
Everything, it gets rolled into the price.
Yes.
And so how did you create the profit margin to say, all right, this is the price point we need to be at?
So it was two part. We worked with someone that is in the business and they know kind of this is the price that people will pay. And then this is the price where people get uncomfortable, but they'll pay. And then this is the price where, we decided to price.
Nadia.
Yeah, Nadia and Tennille. So we decided to put it where we felt comfortable that people would pay for a luxury item. But we don't want to make them, you know, say, I can't do it. It's just
how much is it?
So we're at $230 and you get a 4 ounce. A little less than 4 ounces.
It's perfume, not cologne, right?
It's an EDP, Eau de Parfum. What? And it's for men and women. And we may have some for you guys.
That
makes us exclusive.
What's EDP?
So EDP is the concentration. So it's strong.
So it's not perfume or cologne?
No, it's Eau de Parfum. So it's, I don't know what's the difference between an EDT.
That's a unisex.
Because it's EDT. EDT is a Eau de Toilette. So that's what we're talking about. So you could call it cologne if you want. I could call it perfume. But it's technically an EDP or an EDT.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is unisex.
Yeah.
It's unisex.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I know, it's a lot. It's so much. We're both learning all of this. We're like, what do we get ourselves into?
Well, the thing that I like about, you know, we interviewed a restaurant owner from Baltimore early on our journey. Shout out to Derek. And he was talking about, you know, they always say the average millionaire has 7 streams of income. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people get discouraged because they think that's like 7 jobs or 7 different businesses. But really, you just have to focus on one thing and then have multiple streams from there. Mm-hmm. So it's like, all right, the flower seems like that's the main thing, but now you have plants.
Yes.
That's another division of that, right? Now you have the perfume. Mm-hmm. That's another division of that. So you can do consulting. Mm-hmm. You can, you know.
And the other thing is our candles. The candles are the thing candles. We can't keep enough.
Candles. Yeah.
Like, I don't care if we get 1,000 candles, they're gone.
Yeah.
So the candles are outpacing everything. Mm-hmm. Like, our candles, we cannot keep enough candles.
I want to talk about the candles too, but guys, try to keep them.
Yeah, no. So it's like, so now it's all in line of one. And you can actually use one to sell another.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, loyal customers that might be buying flowers, you can somehow weave in the fragrance as part of that. And now they might start buying the fragrance because they're already familiar with your brand.
Mm-hmm. And we have apparel. My husband created some hoodies and hats. And
like hotcakes too.
Yeah. And people like to Instagram, like his boys will like, you know, post. They're not going to post flowers necessarily, but they will post their
Yeah, and even we were just in Miami at the World Fragrance Conference, and that was one of the things that they were saying. This is like the biggest fragrance conference in the world. But they were like most, like even like a Tom Ford. They were like, really, a lot of these people make the most of their money off one of their fragrances, not the 9 that are out. They're like, one of them is the one that just goes. But they want to keep it new and keep new things out and things coming out. But usually it's like one or two of all of those things that are really making the sales.
Yeah, so you said you went to the conference in Miami and obviously, you know, the floral business. When you get to these places, how many people do you see that look like us? And what keeps you encouraged to keep going, even when you don't? Because I'm assuming there's not too many people that look like us in these businesses.
It was like one. Wow. It was Chris Collins.
So Chris Collins, he's based out of New York. He actually was a really famous supermodel for a long time with Ralph Lauren. He has a fragrance called The World of Chris Collins. He's in Sephora, worked really hard. He has like over 10 cents, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So we were on a panel together and we were like the fresh faces as a way to show the industry, you know, we need to diversify. You need to,
and we're coming.
You know, be open-minded. These are the fresh faces. These are the new fragrance makers. This is what they look like. But outside of us.
Yeah, it was really France. It was
very,
I felt like the majority was people from France.
Yeah.
But they showed a lot of love. I felt we were very well respected. I felt like they highlighted us. You know, we were in a lot of different things, and I feel like they were doing their best to showcase us. I really do feel like that.
How cost intensive is the fragrance business? Obviously, when you're dealing with plants, you're buying wholesale. Mm-hmm. This one, you can't. So, like, if somebody's trying to say, like, you know what? This sounds really inspiring. I want to try something. Like, how cost intensive or cash intensive is it?
This is expensive. I mean,
it's expensive.
You need about at least $500,000 to do it right, where you're not stressing out.
Yeah.
I would say at least.
A proper consultant. So we had a consultant that walked us, like, held our hand through this whole process. We would not have been able
to. So, like, what's some of the steps that you need?
Well, this woman is, she's done this for so many people, and a lot of people are really successful. Like, they're on at Saks and Neiman's right now. So one of the blessings that we had is we had somebody that wanted to partner us that knew all the ins and the outs. Like, these are the bottle makers in France that you want, or in Italy that you want.
Or in China.
These three.
Yeah.
Or you can get the expensive things, or you can get the same type of thing in China, and these are the people that I recommend. This is the kind of paper you want with this kind of product. You know, you don't want to get, you know, it's like every single thing. Your logo should be metallic because it's going to come off of the pearl. She knew everything. So we were able to get like the best crash course that I don't even know how we got it. So
and
for us, it
her
was like,
contacts.
Yeah,
we don't
these,
know
and these were all of her like, contacts because she wanted, this is someone that was around back when Aitika was at the flower shop before Old Vine. And she kind of peeped Aitika's whole journey through Old Vine, and she contacted us. So we were just fortunate enough to have someone that's in this industry, like literally walk us to the well. So we didn't have to bump our head. We didn't have to second guess. Because had we not had her,
we wouldn't
it would have been almost impossible to do. Yeah,
we would not have known where to start.
And we certainly wouldn't have had a relationship with Firmenich.
Yeah.
So how'd the candles, what's the candle situation looking like?
The candles are doing well. So people love candles, right? People love candles. You walk into any man's house, any woman's house, it, you know, smells good. You have them in the bathroom. I was just at my girlfriend's house this morning. I lit her candles. I was like, yeah. She had a candle called Harlem. I was like, this is pretty.
And they're very high end. I mean, yeah. The candles, we sold thousands of candles.
They do really well.
People really love the candles.
Gifts, candles are great. Gifts, candles, and our candles have a smell. Like when you smell our candle, it doesn't have to be lit. We could literally open the box and what is that? So it's a great candle.
You're buying the candles wholesale too?
Are we selling them wholesale?
No, you're buying them wholesale. Like, how do you buy candles?
So we make our candles.
We make the candles. Yeah. So we selected the scent just like we did with the EDP. We have to select the wax. Mm-hmm. What, you know, natural soy, all that stuff. We colored our wax. So one wax, the Bridal Bouquet's wax is rose. The Finder's Inn wax is sage. We selected the bottle. Do we want white, matte, clear, black, glass? You know, it's every single unit. So then we have to buy units, 500, 1,000, 5,000. I mean, it's just so much
fragrance to it. I mean, you're talking about drums of the wax show up from France, drums. So we can pour, you know, 6,000 candles.
So they just give you a bucket full of wax.
A big drum.
Who's making it? You?
We have a manufacturer in California.
Oh.
And they pour it. They mix it.
They have all of our bottles with our logo. They're all just stacked up there. So if we want to place an order for 2,000 candles, they'll be done in like a week and a half.
And it goes to the manufacturer.
Yes.
And they pour it and then they package it up for you. Then they send it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How much you sell your candles for?
Our candles are 72. So we're up there with like the Le Labos and the Byredos and those guys. And like I said, we did a little analysis. We're like, this is what, you know, you
market
can get
research.
Yankee, exactly. You can get a Yankee Doodle candle for $14 from CVS or Duane Reade, or you can get, you know, Le Labo for $75. I'm not sure if it might be more than that. So we decided that based on the product, we're definitely at in the, you know, 70-ish range. So we went with 72 because it felt like safe.
72.
Yeah.
So this, I mean, that's three businesses right there.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're trading all day. We don't really have couples on here too often. How was that managing all that? Obviously, y'all are parents. So how was that for you? Like, how often are you seeing? You're like, this sounds pretty time consuming.
No, it's pretty rewarding. Like I said, our headquarters are at home, so a lot of Aitika's work is on our computer. You know, our nanny's there with the baby. I'm on my computer. And because we're all in downtown, you know, we kind of can jump out and get these things done. So, I mean, man, maybe because I'm older. You know, I enjoy my family. I ain't in the streets no more, but it's actually rewarding. I'm very thankful that I can see my I have an 11-year-old son, too, but I can see my kids, you know, spend time with my wife and work and create these businesses at the same time. So it's actually, it's great.
So we get along. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes, sometimes people can't work together, right? It's just what it is. And Brian and I can work, we work well together. And I think it's because we understand and respect each other's job, like what the other person brings to the table or what the other person is good at and what their strength is. And then we don't try to get involved. I'm definitely not like a helicopter or anything. Like I'm not hovering and he doesn't do that either. You know, he might be like, hey, did you send that email? But that's as far as it goes, not like copy me on every email or, you know, kind of thing. So it's just, I think we have a lot of respect for each other and it's a blessing to be able to work together and build a business for our family and our kids. And I feel so grateful that I can work from home and bring my daughter, our daughter's 17 months old. She comes to the flower shop and she has like her own little station. I'm going to tell the story. Dad like threw away her station. So when she got to the flower shop yesterday, she walked over and she had this look of like, what happened? And I called him. I'm like, babe,
you threw away. We had a table left over from an event. Itika told me like almost, she was like, make sure you throw this table away.
It was like
I hadn't been to the shop in a couple weeks. So I went to the shop. I was like, let me take all the trash out and let me take this table out. But by that time, my daughter had fell in love with the table. She never really said that.
I mean, I was like, it's on Instagram. I posted her playing on the table.
I'm like, I definitely saw it on Instagram.
You know what I'm saying? Like, her table, that's her table, that's her spot.
I feel you, bro. Yeah.
Very important. So you strike me more as maybe into the numbers?
Yeah.
Yeah? Is that correct?
I'm big time into numbers.
And you're more on the creative side?
Yes, I am not. I mean, I can calculate some things, but Brian can it deals with futures and all this other stuff that's not
in. So how many people is on your team? So it's you guys, you have Matt Barnes, he a silent partner or he involved in it at all?
He's involved. He lets us pretty much do, you know,
okay,
the most of the work, but if we need him to help promote, he'll be a part of events. He's a big, you know, he always has ideas or thoughts. You guys should do that, this or that. He's very, you know, creative in his own right. So he always comes up with like cool concepts. So he's involved.
And what else? Who else is on your team?
We have our designers. We have like 4 to 5 designers that we work with regularly, like weekly.
For the flowers.
Very, very talented. And then I have an intern that comes in who's also a designer in her own right. She has her own shop, her own, you know, small operation, but not a shop, brick and mortar. But she comes in and she interns. She wants to learn and kind of get experience. And then we have our drivers and
accountant.
Yeah.
Got out of account.
Listen. And then, but Brian deals
with. But we're hands on. We do a lot of stuff ourselves still.
Yeah. I mean, I deliver. If it's a Sunday and nobody will deliver, I deliver. I'm like, okay, I tell Brian, I'm like, watch the baby, I'll be back.
Like we still do like the emails. We do a lot.
I send out the weekly emails myself. We have a social media manager. Shout out to our social media manager. She's so excellent. Like one thing about social media, it's like it's so necessary, but when it comes to creating content, that's like I can like post a cute picture of my baby or me and my husband on date night, but not like content. So we have a social media manager that is very vital to the team. So
yeah, you mentioned Roc Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering, are there other clients that you have on the wish list that you're like, you know what, I would love to do an event for?
What other? We always.
I mean, outside of Earn Your Leisure.
Roc Nation, we right. want the brunch. So we're putting it out there. We want the brunch.
We want the brunch.
We do get Jay, Tina knows we get those orders pretty much every year. The brunch is I've been putting that in the universe for years.
Yeah. And just, you know, I really like, you know, BET. They use us for their awards. So we did their like celebrity gifting suite this year. And that was cool. Would love to do the awards. I would love to do, you know, the Grammys, the Oscars, the Emmys. You know, you see the red carpet and all the flowers. Like, that's next.
So you have the flower business. You have the fragrance business, plants, the candles.
apparel
and the merch.
Yes, mm-hmm. the merch.
What's the, like, if you had a pie chart of 100, like, what's the percentage breakdown as far as, like, revenue and attention, like, into the whole framework?
Well, are we also including your finance?
No. Just Ovine?
Just Ovine. Okay.
Ovine, how do I say it? I would say Ovine, in a pie chart, out of everything that goes out,
florals,
I would say 30% of it is retained. I'd say everything else goes back.
But how much attention are we paying to everything, right? So yeah. Like 75% of our energy is florals. I would say that.
Sure. I'm sorry.
It's 75% because it's getting us, it is like that's demanding the most attention. Like my phone is, when I check my phone, it's going to be
flowers
and I'm going to have to respond. And
that's the lead horse.
That's the lead horse.
For sure.
So I would say 75% is florals. I would aim to give more attention to fragrance, but I'm going to start. We worked with a great PR team the past couple months, and so I've kind of like been a little less hands-on because I've kind of let them take the lead. But I'm going to have to get back on there. So I definitely would like to spend more time with fragrance. But right now, I would say 75% is florals. And then the merch kind of sells itself.
The
but
candles.
The candles and the fragrance need more time.
Are there, I mean, those are five pretty strong verticals. Are there any more verticals that you see down the road that you, you know, we should try to explore that?
Yeah, I mean, we've had opportunities for television.
Like reality show?
Yeah, but
just... leery of the reality shows, but we have had those opportunities. Now, anything that was, I guess, positive, we would be open to, but we're still just trying to
figure out that. I was talking to a girlfriend, I don't think I mentioned this to you, about, because I'm like,
breaking news,
a children's book. So I have a very creative girlfriend, and we like talk shop about, you know, work, and she's in marketing, and she's just like, gosh, you should do a children's book for Noah with like and teaching people about flowers, because, you know, does that exist? I don't know. But I just thought that would be super cool. We have so many books, and she loves her books. Like, she goes and grabs books all the time and hands them
like
to me.
I cannot believe how many black children's books.
There's a lot.
Your daughter's name is Noah?
Noah, yeah.
That's one of these names that became a unisex name.
Mm-hmm. No H. It's N-O-A.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Noah.
Mm-hmm. Noah, yeah.
Okay, not like Noah.
Yeah, just Noah.
Okay, because somebody else's name Noah. Isn't there a singer?
I think that's Nora Jones, maybe.
Nora Jones, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I knew you was thinking that, bro. Okay.
Noah has become popular, though. It's more.
I feel like it's popular with the age, though.
Yeah.
Well, with the age, it's always popular.
Sure. Okay. That's a beautiful name.
But yeah, children's books, that's definitely on my list. We haven't talked about it yet. But.
So, all right, so 75% of the business is in flowers, so that's obviously the most important thing. Mm-hmm. But you haven't expanded that, so... how can you expand that though? Because I feel like, my personal opinion, I feel like that's something that can be expanded, mm-hmm. and could be bigger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If it's already successful.
Yeah.
Have you thought about that?
I think about it every day. I thought about it coming up the stairs in the elevator.
What I think about too in Los Angeles, and it's such a serious thing, there's like, we're the number one black florist, in my opinion, we're number one, but there's also like three other florists that are like, you know, the guy that does the Kardashians, and they got a lot of loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and in Los Angeles, and a lot of people under them, mm-hmm. it's like everybody's fighting for, you know, the biggest business in LA. And I feel like a lot of people are very loyal to these top two or three guys.
It's a lot. It's flowers in LA are a big business.
You can't pull them away, but I feel like there's just a loyalty to a couple of these huge florists.
And a lot of, so for me, how do we expand our business? I would love to get more huge, beautiful weddings, right? These weddings that you see on Instagram that are just like, I mean, these people are no price, you know. And we can't necessarily, I haven't been able to really penetrate the wedding market the way that we should. We should have, I tell you this every summer, I'm like, we should have a wedding every weekend. And it's just one of those industries where, A, you have to be able to spend a certain amount of money on flowers for your wedding. And most people, when they get that quote, they're like, oh, no, we were thinking more like. We were thinking more like, and then you're like, okay, you know, so I definitely want to figure out how we can penetrate the wedding industry in Los Angeles. That's a very big deal for me. And then also, like I said, penetrating the awards. I would love to do more awards. And when award season, I mean, comes, just go. But I think when that happens and as it happens, then we're going to grow naturally. We're going to have to hire more full-time employees. We're even going to need a bigger space. And I can't wait.
Well, when I was actually thinking expansion, I was actually thinking geographic.
I was thinking
something where it could become scalable, where all over America, yeah. all over the world.
I'm thinking on the same lines, because I'm thinking right now, like what you just said makes sense, right? Like people are going to be loyal to their florist, and right, well, what if you go to a different market and now you're the only person?
No, I agree. I think that's part of the intent with the flowers and with the fragrance and the candle. They're still really new. So we still have a lot that's coming to really push and hit all these markets, whereas they're easier on us to get to everybody. You get the Ovon experience, you get these, you know, these scents, and I think it's a lot easier. And the other, expanding the stores, has still always been a dream of ours New York and Chicago, cities that we were very familiar with. But at the same time, we're probably 3 years of really figuring everything out, and we're only doing better, by the day. Still things are getting better and better.
Do you work with event planners and wedding planners?
We do. So we have some really great and loyal event planners that if they're having an event, if they're doing a wedding, they're like, use Old Vine. So that's a big part of all the events that we get. Like, they're definitely from these event planners that we've worked with for quite a long time. We get each other. We understand the process. We do well together.
Referrals.
Yeah.
You know Miss Diddy?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they had dinner together.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah, you had, I'm going to tell, if this is going to sound spooky, you know, like before somebody comes, like I'll check everything. I'm like, oh, Miss Diddy, April 11th, you had dinner together. Nice.
Yes. No. And I know Miss Diddy from years ago. Like, I show Brian a picture of she and I with Kendra in Chicago in like, what was that, 2014.
Y'all look different back then. <Shut up. laughs>
You tried it.
No, it was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. But Matt's really good friends with Diddy, and also Baron Davis, who I'm very good friends with.
That's Diddy, another alumni.
Yeah. See,
those,
I mean,
those are all our guys.
Yeah. So,
Al Harrington.
We did all this events in Chicago.
Yeah.
When they had All Star in Chicago, we did all that.
For the Viola.
Yeah. So we're very, very close with a gentleman named Sharif who works with Al Harrington. So it's all, you know.
Just networking.
You know, it's all networking. It's all using your network and everybody helping each other out.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's encouraging. Like I said, it sounds like you guys got a lot more room to go. So that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, especially with the fragrance and the candles. That's something that, you know, can definitely... That's something that's probably going to be easier to scale.
Yeah.
Because
you don't have to physically be there.
Yeah.
To actually
the thing about flowers, and it's so interesting because, like I said, we went to Oakland and we were looking at spaces, and I was trying to do some kind of like analysis of the area, right? So I'm like, okay, we're in Oakland. Who are the main like event planners? Who does events in Oakland? I actually have a relative who does really well in Oakland. In the Bay Area, she does events. She started with balloons, and then she went like, it just, when balloons started becoming a thing, she got there early. And so I'm looking, but I think that the piece that LA has that these other areas don't have is the event piece. And like I said, before the pandemic, we were 84% events and we were doing really, really well. And it's just, there's no place like LA for events. That's where I try to say, how are we going to
New York would be good.
Right.
And Miami would be good also. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was thinking Miami.
Miami would be smaller market.
Yeah.
New York is probably not as many events, but it's so big
that
there's enough, especially if you get in the corporate space.
Yeah.
LA is the best. That's the only three places that I really can think of that would like really, really make sense.
For the flowers?
Yeah.
Like from what they do as far as the events on a consistent basis. Like I know LA. Miami, I know for sure that'll go crazy. And New York, you can do well in New York too, bro.
Miami's definitely on our list.
But we'll also go places and we'll travel for events. So we went to Chicago. We did the All-Star Weekend in Chicago.
For the NBA Wives.
So we did the NBA Wives Association. They had a huge event at the W downtown in Chicago. And so we did that event. We flew in. It was 3 degrees. Crazy.
I was there for that. That was 2 years ago, right?
It was two,
like right before the pandemic.
Yeah,
we were there for that.
We were there for that.
It was so cold.
My beard had ice pools on it.
It's freezing.
We had a good time, though.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Chicago's a good city. It's just too cold.
It's ridiculously cold.
But yeah, so we flew in. We did that event. So we're not tethered. So we can't not, you know, it's just a matter of, I understand what you're saying.
Because the other thing is all cities have a flower mart.
Yeah, every city has a flower mart.
We know the business. We could fly here, you know, with two or three people and knock any event out.
Mm-hmm. So you already know what a flower mart is here already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we know there's a flower district in New York. We visited, obviously, the flower mart in Oakland. Mm. Chicago has a flower mart. And Miami has a huge flower mart because most of the flowers that come internationally come to Miami first, and then they go all around.
Mm. So these flowers, they getting shipped, like, same day. Where the flowers grown?
Everywhere. It's insane.
So Holland has a lot of tulips. So there's huge tulip fields in Holland. But there's also a lot of tulips in California. There's a lot of orchids in California. But then orchids also, you know, come from like Asian countries. And then there's a lot of flowers that come from Africa. A lot of Protea, Banksia. There's tropical flowers that come from Africa. Mexico, Ecuador, that's where a lot of roses are from.
Atlanta might be a good market also.
Yeah. All right, excellent. So you're getting the flowers to somewhere. So I'm thinking, like, I know a lot of our earners are probably listening, like, maybe I should be a grower. Right? Yeah. Because if you have to buy them from someone, you need somebody to grow them. And it's the cost of entry into that is very low, right? You just need soil and some seeds.
But it seems like it's a monopoly on that, though, right? Because they're probably like huge farms.
I mean, I just think you would have to learn how to
preserve.
That's the key. And to scale on I think somebody could wipe out your crop like with one purchase.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that happened during the pandemic.
These people have been doing this forever. Mm-hmm. Like when they, you know.
It's like a farmer.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of hard to just start a mom and pop farm.
Right.
When you got, you know, industrial farms with thousands of acres. Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is my mom is always talking to me about doing wholesale. She's like, why aren't you wholesaling your own flowers? And I'm like, I can't even wrap my mind around that. but she's very, very adamant about the fact that I should be a wholesaler and a flower designer. And the wholesalers that I know, I mean, this industry, it's bananas. Like, they're like, the flowers are coming from here and they're going to the airport and they're getting it.
And the wholesale
stuck in Arizona.
Those guys be stressed out day in, day out. Mm. Like, it's like wheeling and dealing, and
because they get it from the source.
They get it from the source. But that stop when it gets to them is stressful.
Yeah.
Because they got to sell all this stuff before it goes bad.
It's like Frank
the
Lupin.
People coming in there negotiating. Yeah. And everybody else got them down the street for it. It's really stressful for those guys.
The good old dollar flower.
They are all stressed out. Like, I think they're great. I love my wholesalers, but they're all stressed out.
But then there's new flowers that don't die. Like, they last a year.
Preserved roses.
Yeah. I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
They, what's the deal with that? What are they putting? The chemicals in those, obviously.
Yes. Yeah. So there is a process, the preservation process. I don't know how they do it, but they preserve these roses. They became popular, I think, because the Kardashians started posting them, and then it just became a thing. There are companies. We do them. I don't love to do them because I like working with live, natural florals, but people like them because it's kind of like I don't have to put water in them. They're not going to die. I'm not going to throw them away. They'll be here for another year or two.
They're decorative.
Yeah,
they're decorative. Yeah. They're decorative.
I ordered I won't say the company, but I ordered them and they sit right in the front. You never have to touch them.
Yeah. Really nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, is that, if you did, I mean, you said it's rare that you do, but if you did, would that be a situation where that could travel across the country? Because now it's preserved and it could get to New York. or is it like, you know what, that's too stressful, I'm not trying to do it. Brian Tasting is a guy that I want to stress.
It would have to be proper packaging. It would have to be the right packaging, right?
Yeah. And we I just think, I mean, we've visited that a few times. We just never really locked down on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's also a passion, right? And so it's like, you can do something, but it's like, do you love doing it? Do I love putting these little preserved roses in this box? Not necessarily. So I'll do it if you want me to, but
I'm not going to ask you to. I had a friend of mine who did it.
Flowers. Flowers always come in handy.
Yeah. They're the remedy.
Yes.
From any type of mistake or celebration.
And it's
big. Apparently.
And decorative.
And decorative.
True.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you.
What would you like to tell the people before you leave? Any new products, or what's your website? What's your Instagram handles? All that stuff.
So our website is oldvineflorals.com. We have hundreds of designs on our site, so you can see what we do. Obviously, if you want to order, you can order from the website. Only delivering to the greater Los Angeles area. We're also on social media. All our handles are at Old Vine Florals. If you're ever in DTLA, we're at 132 West 7th Street. We're in the Fashion District in downtown LA, and we're just two blocks from the Flower Mart. And we are working on some new scents, some new candles. Yeah. We're really loving the response that we're getting with our candles and our EDP, Old Vine Fragrance.
Yeah, Old Vine Fragrance.
OldVineFragrance.com is the website. And on all socials, it's at Old Vine Fragrance.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Good. When you're in LA,
we will be there. We're coming by the store.
Please.
We're coming.
Please.
Get an assortment.
We'll get all our Bruin friends together. It'll be a little reunion.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely, definitely. Troy, housekeeping items?
Yeah, shout out to everybody on Patreon.com. Shout out to all our earners on EYL University. Shout out to everyone out there supporting our merch. You know, the growth has been tremendous. So shout out to all y'all. Thank you for rocking with us.
Yes, we'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
F*** a mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
Earners, what's going on? Listen, EYLU is relaunching, revamping, retooling. That's right, we're creating a new educational experience that's more expansive. Shadi, tell them what we got.
Yes, 2023. We got a lot in store, a lot planned for you guys.
So you know that EYLU already includes monthly financial planning calls with me, book club calls with Troy, real estate calls with MG the Mortgage Guy, access to the Home Buying Blueprint, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Part of the revamp will include 27 local chapters from across the United States, live interactive teaching, hands-on, not just pre-recorded videos, plus 15 brand new curriculums.
The biggest just got bigger.
Head over to EYLUniversity.com. That's EYLUniversity.com. See you there.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.